I'd like to speak today on the subject of the star out of Jacob. And what we're doing is continuing our theme of the stained glass windows here. And the window right over there has the star. And the scripture that Lacey just read is Numbers 24, 16, and 17. Today I want to share with you some thoughts about this star that is supposed to come out of Jacob. In Numbers, we find the story of Balak and Balaam. An interesting story of Balak hiring Balaam to cast curses upon God's people Israel. Any other time, usually, I would ask my church, if you are reading something that's been written by a pagan or somebody whose theology is just extremely off base, you know, don't read it. Read that which is pure and holy and scriptural. But we have here in this chapter the words of a prophet who was not a good prophet. He was not on God's side at all. And yet it's just as if God superimposed his thoughts on Balaam. And we have some wonderful truth that comes out of the mouth of this false prophet. Can you believe that? I suggest to you that God can use whomever he chooses. And when he supernaturally intercedes in the lives of a person, it's very real. Here in Numbers chapter 24 again, I'd like to read this. In verse 16, Balaam says, "This is the utterance of him who hears the words of God." Now keep in mind, this is a false prophet. But God has come into his mind. He's in vision. He's writing this. "This is the utterance of him who hears the words of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open." Verse 17, he says, "I see him, but not now." The "him" in my Bible is capitalized. I see God, but not now. I behold him, but he's not near. The commentary says that he did not see him visually, but he saw the Lord through the mind's eye. He says, "A star shall rise out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." Now, last year I was privileged to read the Old Testament through twice and the New Testament through three times. And I think I made a mistake, because when I read through this last year, and this year, I've read it through again this year, I sort of passed over it. I read it, but I really did not let the words sink in. And after studying this scripture this week, it's my personal opinion that what that pagan false prophet wrote for us really should be placed up on equal status with some of the other great prophecies that we like to talk about. I would place this prophecy up there with Genesis 3:15, where he speaks about putting enmity between thee and the woman and how eventually that Satan would be killed. Really, that's the thrust of it. He says here, "A star shall rise out of Jacob." Really, that's just as important as Daniel 2:44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed." It's equally as important as what we speak about in Malachi 4. It says, "Behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud and all that do wickedly shall be as stubble." It's just as important, August, as 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I'm trying to establish some importance in your mind today about Numbers 24 here, where this prophet says, a star shall come out of Jacob. It will be a special star, a unique star. I was studying this week, and I knew there was something I could wrap my arms around and squeeze, and something I could place on a table and ask you to look at today, but I just hadn't found it. And I was praying, God, it's here, it's somewhere in Scripture. I know it is. Let me have it. Would you turn with me to the book of Revelation? It's here in the last chapter, in the last book of the New Testament, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16. This is the testimony of Jesus. This is His declaration. He says in Revelation 22, 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. He says, I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright and the morning star. So there you have it. This star that Balaam, the false prophet, predicted would come out of the family line of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he admits, I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright and the morning star. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 1? We have a couple of places in the New Testament that really nails this down. I wish I still had my notes to a sermon that I gave here as before this building was built and we were worshiping in the building next door. Gave a sermon one Sabbath on Jesus as the official Savior. Some of you may remember that. You may not. But I had Gary Griffin come onto the platform with me. And every time I pointed my finger, he was to just say, the official Savior. And we went through several texts that Sabbath morning proving that Jesus is the official Savior. But here in Matthew today, we will see that He shall come from the right bloodline, prophetically foretold in the Old Testament. And in Matthew 1, it says, this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. And there you have it. As Balaam, thousands of years before, had predicted that a star shall come out of the bloodline of Jacob. Now we have the New Testament testifying that he was born of the right family. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 3. The message is repeated, but it just goes in reverse in the third chapter of Luke. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. When you notice verse 31, though, he works his way all the way back to the son of David. And then he says he's the son of Jesse, the son of Boaz. And when you come down to verse 34, it says he is the son of whom? Now we've established that he's the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. To the Jewish mind, this was a big thing to be part of the family lineage of Abraham, because the covenant promise had been made to Abraham that his descendants would be as many as the stars of the sky and as many as the sands of the sea. And to be part of that family bloodline guaranteed that you were going to make it into heaven. Don't you love it? But this dimension of a star coming out of Jacob takes on an entirely new meaning. They use the word star and the idea of star different than we understand the stellar bodies in the heavens that we speak of as a star. Something really badly happened to us last evening. I had a blank in my notes because I wanted a definition of the physical stars that we see. And I had planned to get that off the internet last night. And for the first time in my history of internet use, when we turned on my computer, it was just a blue blank screen. It wouldn't go any further. So I don't have today the number of stars the scientists have counted in the heavens and the information I wanted about the morning star. For some reason, either of satanic power, of divine influence, I don't know. But I don't have it. But I do know this. I know today who created all of the stars that are in the heavens. Isn't that of some value, of some merit today? And when Balaam says that a star shall come out of Jacob, it's not just a physical star like you will see this evening if you go outside and if the elements are clear enough for you to see the stars. Not that kind of a star. But another star that would stand out in such priority and importance that even in the witness of heaven, it could be declared that the morning stars would sing together over this particular star. We have a name for him. We call him Emmanuel, God with us. We call him this Jesus, who was born on the hills, whose birth was announced around the hills of Bethlehem. And later the magicians, the wise men came from the east and gave him their gifts of respect and of honor. I learned this week that when those wise men were trying to figure all of this out, and after they had read from their philosophers and the poets of their day and the scientists of their day, that they even turned to the record of Hebrew Scripture. And those wise men found the very text that we've been looking at today. And as they read there that Balaam has said that out of Jacob shall arise this particular star, it helped them in their search for, quote, the Christ, as he came on time, on schedule, and born of the right bloodline. We call him the son of Abraham, the son of Jacob, the son of David. We call him the Savior, the merciful high priest, the great physician, the compassionate friend, the rock of ages. We call him the master teacher. We even sing he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. We would have sang that song today, but it's not in our hymnal. At least we couldn't find it. Back to the importance of Numbers 24 and verse 17, that out of Jacob should arise a star. If we did not have that story of Jesus and of his life, we would have no story of redemption. I know in the heart of most people there's a desire of dissatisfaction with this particular life. I find it in the lives of people who are not committed to any faith. A dissatisfaction with all the violence and with the upheavals of the earth and things that are happening today, there just seems to be this longing and heartfelt desire for something better. Well, it's here. It's in reality, spoken of in Scripture, figuratively through the star. It is part of that mystery of godliness. But without that Christ, we would have no plan of redemption. It would truly be correct to just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But that's not the case, because God has intervened. Now we have the great text, like 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have John 3:16, which is true. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And he demonstrated His love to humanity in the form of sending His Son to the earth in the form of a baby, like Chance, right there. Into the midst of a world influenced by sin and satanic forces, God sent the child to demonstrate His love for humanity. But without that Christ, we would not have John 14, which says, let not your heart be troubled. We would not have Psalms 23 with any meaning at all that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The love of Almighty God is revealed in the context of that star which came out of Jacob, and it is shining brightly even to this day, seeking to illuminate the path of our life's journey. That presence of the star changes things, changes humanity. Some of you know that we just returned from our yearly pastor's retreat at Cohutta Springs. It's not my first rodeo, okay? I've been to a lot. I've been to 35, I think, big yearly ministers' retreats and a lot in between. But a number of those have focused on family life. I have a question. Why do people repeat something over and over to the same group of people? I mean, my wife can testify this to any of you today. I'm not lying. I'm intelligent. I have some wisdom. And I caught on to something a long time ago. Men and women are different. They think differently. But every time I go to pastor's retreat and we bring in a family life ministries man, guess what he says? He tells a joke, he sets it in humor, and he says, pastors, you have to know the difference between the left brain and the right brain, and men are different than women. Duh! I've been hearing this. Why do the experts repeat the same thing over and over? Hey, I got this one figured out too. Guys like me that stand in the pulpit and talk to our wives at home are not as smart as we think we are. Are you listening, Debbie? Women like for you to wash dishes, make up the bed, take out the garbage, take them out to eat, call them during the day. buy them gifts for no occasion, brag on them even if the clothes don't fit right. They like that sort of thing. But every family life presenter and counselor always adds to that. This thought. What they really want from their husband is your time and your presence next to them. There must be some reason, Tim, that every family life expert comes up with those two things. What women like, and then what they really like. It must be difficult for us to comprehend what they really like, because they keep repeating it. Now, today's sermon is not on family. Well, it is on family life in this respect. I can prove to you logically, scripturally, and in the historical development of Bible truth. I can do this today. I can prove to you today what God really wants from you is not your gifts, but something else. He wants your time. He wants your personal time with Him. This business about the star, it's true. The star would come out of Jacob. But He wants you to do more than just look at the star. He wants you to do more than just walk in the light of the star. We can scripturally prove who He is. I did it in about three places today. Revelation 22, 16, Matthew 1, and Luke 3 established the validity of who Christ is. But He wants more from you. He wants you to be His friend. He wants you to love Him as a spouse loves his or her mate. That's what He really wants. That's what the idea of the star is all about. That as the bright and morning star, He illuminates, influences, helps to control all of your life. But we're so stubborn and hard-headed and ignorant. We don't catch it. That's all I want to say about that. If we can love Him, if we can meet Him, if we will allow ourselves to be personally connected to Him, several things will take place in our lives. He takes our thoughts from that which is earthly to that which is heavenly. He changes the selfish into a sacrificing individual. He takes ignorance and prejudice and changes it to knowledge and to love for all of humanity's souls. This idea of the star should remind us that what He really wants from us is the expectancy of that great, glorious, wonderful day when He meets us face to face and calls us by name. A heart-to-heart intersection. It leads us to experience that relationship, to know for a certainty we have met the mighty one who saves to the uttermost, and that we are saved to the uttermost. There are a few who have caught the dream and the vision of Balaam. The writers of the New Testament represent that group. I like what's written in Philippians 3 and verse 10. As it says there, my heart's desire is for you to know Him and the power of His resurrection. In so doing, we have the hope in us that we shall be connected and united and presented with Him in glory, with all the power and might of God, who says, "Welcome home, my children." Hugs us as His friends. Sin and sorrow shall be no more. Time fades into eternity, and God's kingdom is concluded. That is the story of the Star of Jacob. That is the story of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the message of this hour. Thank you for the illustration given to us of Jesus being the bright and morning star, the star that would come and arise out of Jacob. Tonight, as we look up into the heavens, or tomorrow evening, whenever we look up and see that which you have created, please let us be reminded of you as the great star. May we, as someone has said, hitch our wagon to the star. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Amen.